Eyewitness News reporter Natalie Malchas, who is posted to George, has been covering this terrible tragedy of the building collapse and the ongoing search for survivors. And I thought let's take the moment just to catch up with Natalie and find out the very latest. You have been covering the story into the Eyewitness News bulletins. Natalie, thank you very much for joining us at short notice and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pippa. What a buffer story.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad we have a moment, Natalie, because it's a story I think is playing in the back of our minds for all of us who've been following what's been happening. And it struck me that we're sitting here talking about mothers, talking proudly about their children on the show each day this week. And there is a group of mothers who will probably be waiting to wonder if they will ever see their child again come the end of this week, for whom the prospect of Mother's Day on Sunday is going to be an entirely different kind of thing. You've been there for quite some time now. Natalie, tell us, particularly from the perspective of family members who are waiting for news. With every hour that passes, it must be getting harder to hold on to hope.
Especially as they approach the closure of that rescue window that the officials had been saying since the start of this operation. They were hopeful that within the next the first 3 days, they would be able to recover or pull survivors out of the rubble. That hope has dwindled with every passing hour. Many of the family members standing on the pavement, basically camping out at the municipal hall adjacent to the crash site, have been mothers, have been aunts, have been sisters. One mother I remember speaking to, Siobhan Siska, is waiting to hear news from her 18-year-old son. This was his first ever job. He was keen to join the team. He had only been working for a few weeks. These were apartment blocks that were ready to go by the end of July. They were going to have people move into them. And her 18-year-old son, Gift, was part of that squad finishing up the construction work here at 75 Victoria Road. That's one of the mothers that we spoke to. For the last week, Pippa, they have held vigils overnight. They have been standing on a particular stretch of the pavement every single day, hoping to hear something new, hoping to see something. What we've heard from some of the women standing around and hoping to hear something from the officials was that the communication has been quite scant. They aren't getting a free flow of communication. They haven't heard from the construction company. None of those construction bosses have approached them with a way forward, with what happened, with a condolence message even. And that was one of the key things they kept bringing up. We have no idea how this happened and what's going to happen to us next. One of the survivors we spoke to is a breadwinner in his home. He has pensioned parents dependent on him and a two-year-old son. He doesn't know. He's 29 years old. He's an electrician, also keen to have participated in this private residential block that was going to go up and be occupied by the end of July. But he doesn't know now if he'll even have the use of his legs when he fully recovers and comes out of hospital. He's currently recovering in the George Hospital. There are many of those such cases, with many of even the survivors who are experiencing some level of guilt at this point. Why was my life saved? Why was I spared? Because everyone we have spoken to across the board has said this mammoth rescue mission is nothing short of a miracle by even rescuing one person.
Natalie, as you've rightly pointed out, even those who have been rescued, as grateful as you are for that knowledge, the trauma they must have endured, some of them spending 2-3 days trapped beneath the rubble, wondering with every creak and rumble and shifting of what was above them whether this was going to be the moment that it all ended, the horror of what they must have endured, the post-traumatic stress syndrome that is likely to follow is just too awful to contemplate. I know, as you say, we're now into the fourth day of the rescue. Yesterday, they were saying they had concerns about the stability of the site itself and there being risk to rescue workers. Have they been able to continue working through the night and into today, despite the concern about the shifting of the site itself?
They have, Pippa. In fact, for most of the morning, they've had these heavy-duty trucks on site clearing the rubble. They have brought in earth-moving trucks from Cape Town to help with the excavation process. In fact, right now, it's perhaps the quietest I've ever encountered the scene since we got here at around 11 o'clock on Monday evening. rescue workers have climbed into what's left of the rubble mound, and they're actually physically moving concrete slabs, bricks, and other debris by hand. Because at one point, there was the suspicion that they heard something coming from beneath the debris. And they're now, just to reduce the pressure, just to make sure they can get close enough and can act quickly enough, they're doing this by hand.
Natalie Malchus, thank you very much for the work you and your colleagues have put in keeping us updated on what is proving to be a very long and drawn out piece of news reporting. But we so appreciate the interviews you're conducting, the human stories you are putting to the faces of those who've been affected by this absolute tragedy in George. Our eyewitness news reporter, Natalie Malchus, thank you so much for that update. And of course, we will continue to keep one eye on the situation in George as the show progresses. Should there be any further developments, one doesn't like to say the hope is gone. It's slim by now, but who knows? Maybe there will be one, two, three more lucky enough to be pulled from that rubble still alive. We will keep an eye on that story, and please stay tuned to the afternoon news bulletins for more from Natalie and the Eyewitness News team.